Well, good evening again, Friendship Bible Church, friends and family. It's Friday, April 24th. This will be a pre-recorded for today because of a few things that came up. But we want to continue here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, here starting in verse 13. But before we do, let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Lord, I just want to thank you again for this day. And Lord, as we look to your word, we just ask for your blessing upon it, that you'll just continue to mold and shape us to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, I trust you guys are all doing well. And it looks like things are starting to get a game plan to being back to normal here in America. But just continue to pray for America as well as the rest of the world. And especially for those around you in your local community and your friends and family that are close by. And just to see how you can reach out to help them out as well. But continue here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We are down to verse 13. Again, Paul was very excited to hear when he couldn't handle it any longer. He wanted to know how they were holding up and what they had remembered of them and things like that. To make sure they're standing strong in the faith. So he sends Timothy again there in chapter 3. He makes mention of this. And he did. He received a good report. But I'll remind you again that there in verse 10, he says, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Excuse me. So there were a couple things that they were lacking. And we talked about that Paul wants that you to keep always growing in the Lord. Never be stagnant. Because when you're stagnant or you don't want to grow anymore, then what do you give place to? You give place to sin. You give place to your flesh, to the world. And that starts to take over your life. And you lose out on that great joy of what it means to serve the Lord and to truly live in Christ. So there's always a pressing onward and always looking back. I just got done reading in one book, but there's one guy that had said about that whenever you live for the Lord, you burn all your bridges behind you because you don't want to turn around. You don't want to go back. You always press on and keep going to the Lord, going forward in the Lord, never wanting to look back and say, well, maybe. No, don't think twice. Keep looking forward. So Paul does that with these guys. And now we're down to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. And I'm going to read to the end here. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this cause we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. And I do want to read one more section because there's another great passage here that correlates with it in 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. For when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Kind of a sister passage here. And we'll go ahead and get all the verses out right here. But Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Paul makes mention of what he's talking about here, that our body will be fashioned like unto whose body? Christ's glorious body. Titus 2:13 talks about our blessed hope, that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what's this passage talking about? Well, the Thessalonians, again, they were struggling a little bit. Part of that struggle was they were kind of having a hard time differentiating between the resurrection, the first coming, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but what Paul shared was a secret coming of Christ. So there was confusion. So Paul wanted to set that straight, and we'll see that here in these verses, as well as beginning of chapter 5 that we'll be looking at next time. So let's go through these verses. But I will not have you be ignorant, brethren. So don't be ignorant. Ignorant means you just don't know. Well, you know what? Now you do know. Don't make up stuff. Don't think this or think that. Paul's going to lay it out for you straightforward and say, look, don't be ignorant. Here's the information. And lays out some good information here. So don't be ignorant. Here's the information, brother, concerning them which are asleep. Another name for those that have died. And if you want to look into a more detailed way, when we're absent from this body, we're present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We know that when we leave this earth, we step into glory. Our soul does. Or if we don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we step into hell. The account of Lazarus and the rich man makes it clear that when we die, we're conscious. We're not unconscious. We're not asleep, soul sleep, or any of that. No, we're very much awake, very much knowing what's going on. And you could either be in a place of comfort or a place of torment. Now, in this age of grace that we're in, we know, according to Paul, that we're absent from this body to be present with the Lord. He was glorying the fact there in Philippians as well, that he was ready. He would rather much be with the Lord, but he knows while he's here, he's not. But anyhow, let's keep moving on here. But those that are asleep, we also know that, again, to be more detailed about it, in context, he's going to be talking about the day of resurrection. And they're confusing that with, okay, there's a resurrection coming that was talked about in the Gospels and even in the Old Testament, the resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation. And that's when you were raised, when everybody that knows Christ would be raised. But here Paul says, you know what, there's something different. Like we read in 1 Corinthians, it's a mystery. I'm going to show you something else. There's a mystery resurrection where one day we'll all be raised as the church body of Christ and receive our glorified bodies. So that's what it's kind of specifically talking about, that there's this one day where we'll all meet each other. Let's see what that talks about here. For if we believe that Jesus died, rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. Again, he recalls the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ isn't a dead God, a little G God. He's a big G God. He is the God, and he's alive. We just went through Resurrection Sunday and Easter, all that. We know our God lives. And Paul makes that very clear in that 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that if Christ didn't raise, our faith is most miserable. It's in vain. It's empty. Just like the grave's empty with a living God, if he wouldn't have raised, and that grave would have been full with his body in it, then our faith would have been empty. But because the grave's empty, our faith is full because he's alive. So if we believe that Jesus died, which we do, he did rise again, then remember, guys, remember here, like what he's saying here, that those which sleep in Jesus, those that have gone on that are now dead, but they're dead in Christ. There's something to look forward to. God will bring them with him. What's he talking about? For this we say unto you, by which the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now let me read the next verse. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now this isn't talking about that, again, it's not soul sleep. The souls and stuff aren't in the grave. No, the bodies are. The bodies go back to dust of the earth. You know, someone might have died in Christ out at sea, might be at the bottom of the ocean or whatnot. Doesn't matter. This is talking about when Christ comes for the church, the body of Christ. When he goes into 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. It's his coming where we all meet him in the air. And in an instant, in that moment, in that twinkling of eye that we read about, in that split second, all the ones that have gone before us immediately first received their glorified bodies. So that's what it means, that for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, the shout, voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And in an instant, all those that have gone on before us receive a glorified body. Then we, which are alive, what an interesting day that will be. If we are alive, to hear the trump of God, to hear Christ coming back in the clouds, not the earth, but in the clouds. And in that moment, in a twinkling of an eye, boom, you see a glorified body of them, and boom, we're up there. All in a split second. Then we are caught up. Then we, which are alive and remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's why Paul says in like Philippians that we will receive that body that's fashioned like unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So basically, specifically, again, in this verse, it's looking to that glorious day, which Paul calls a mystery. Never before revealed. Something brand new that he brought to the table, that the Lord Jesus Christ directly revealed through him. So to recap the two portions of scripture we read, one, it's a mystery. Not all are going to have to die. There will be some that will be alive when this moment happens, and we don't know when that will happen. We're not told that, but we are told that it can happen anytime. So we'll say roughly 2,000 years have passed since the writing of the Word of God, since Paul penned those words. We'll rough it out. So we're 2,000 years closer to when that day will come. But you should be living as if he could return at any time, because he could return at any time. But in that transaction of time, you'll hear that trump, you'll hear that sound, and all of a sudden, right when the transaction of receiving our glorified bodies, and we meet our loved ones in the air, in an instant, a moment, the twinkling of an eye, we have a brand new body. We're finally complete. We're like what the Holy Spirit said, that we're sealed until the day of redemption. One day we will be truly complete. We'll be truly complete when we receive that glorified body. And at the end of it all, we're caught up together in the air. We meet the Lord in the air. So that's interesting to realize. And then we'll forever be with the Lord. And then he says to comfort one another with his words. It's comforting to know that we'll see all those who have placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That simple faith that in Christ's death, his burial, his resurrection, for our sins. He shed his blood for our sins. Died for our sins. And that simple faith in his absolute faithfulness to shed his blood, was buried, and rose again, we have eternal life. And if we accepted Christ, placed our faith in him, accepted that free gift of salvation, this pertains to us. And all those who have gone on before us, we can say, we can have a sorrow in our heart. We can mourn, and we do. We cry. We're upset when we lose loved ones. But it's nowhere compared to mourning someone who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll never see again. But those that do know Christ and have gone on before him, you will see them. It's a guarantee. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, we will be raised. Raised to that perfect, glorified body one day with him. But until then, until this day, if you were to leave earth now, you will be in his presence. You'll be in the presence of the Lord. That's specifically taught in the Word of God. But one day, you will receive the rest of you, rest to what your soul's missing, that perfect, glorified body. Because that's what we're missing now. We're alive spiritually, but our body's not spiritual. And one day, we'll receive that spiritual body. So, just move the camera a little bit. And some other side pointers before we finish up. We're going to be starting in chapter 5 next time. I'll be talking about the second coming of Christ. We've got to remember that this mystery resurrection that Paul talks about, not the resurrection of life, not the resurrection of damnation. Resurrection of life happens at a different time frame. That first, the tribulation happens. First, the second coming has to happen before the resurrection of life, before the resurrection of damnation, all those things. And don't want to get into that because there's a lot involved there, but it's not here. This is a mystery resurrection. So when we look at Matthew chapter 24, when we hear things about like the days of Noah were, and some will be in the field or whatnot, the well, some are taken, some are left behind, that's judgment. That's not a good day to look forward to. The day of Christ is a scary time. It's judgment. And those ones that are taken away in judgment. The ones left behind are the ones, the believers that went into the kingdom in the days of Noah. And people want to confuse that and try to change it and make that say, oh, that's the same as this rapture. Paul's talking, no, it's not. This is a mystery, never before revealed again. And when you look at the whole tribulation period or the end times, like when the disciples asked Jesus in Matthew 24, you can see it laid out. So I want to encourage you not to get caught up right now thinking the tribulation's here, or we're living in the tribulation, or the end times are near because of all these signs and stuff. We don't need any signs for this mystery resurrection, because Paul goes on to the very next verse of chapter 5, 1 says, but unto the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. And he's talking about what's coming next, the second coming. Because why? Because we're not going to be part of the tribulation. We're not going to be part of the second coming of Christ, because we're saved from that wrath. Paul mentions that a few times in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. So just wanted to close and let you know that there is a blessed hope coming. There is a day where we will meet Christ in the air, our loved ones that have gone on before us. We believe that Christ rose from the dead. He conquered death. So don't get caught up thinking you'll never see your loved ones. When you sorrow and you miss loved ones that have gone before, that have placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are guaranteed to see them again. The hope that says even which others that have no hope, this isn't like, oh, I hope to see them sometime. No, this is a hope that is different from the way the world defines it. The Word of God defines it as this expectation that it will happen. And it will, because Christ is literally our hope. And he provides all these other hopes, one of which that he's coming at the rapture, the church, the body of Christ, to take them away, where we'll meet him in the air. He never steps foot on earth, but we meet him in the air to forever be there, ruling and reigning in the heavens, because that's where our conversation's at. That's where we're going to judge angels. That's where we have the work to do for the rest of eternity. Since the beginning of the Word of God, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we all know that things happened in the heavens. Then we all know things happen in the earth. There's something that Christ wants to fulfill of heaven and the earth. He wants to redeem both of them. And he had a plan for both of them. But it wasn't until when Paul showed up on the scene do we see his plan for the heavenlies. Because if he sits there and restores all the heaven or all the earth, but yet we never read about how he's going to restore the heavens, well, what is it? But anyhow, we don't get too caught up in that. So trust in the Lord. We have a mighty hope. Rest in it and continue to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in the hope of his resurrection, that we will one day be raised like unto his glorious body. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your word. We just ask for your blessing upon it and continue to uplift us, but not just motivate and uplift us and inspire us, but truly change us, because your word is living. And it's not just motivational or inspiration. It's truly life-changing. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you again, and God bless.